Today is a very special day, we know that. And at the same time, like I mentioned, it's going to be our last and final journey here in Singapore, and we're grateful for that. We're grateful to God. And so I titled my narrative today as Four Unforgettable Years. Indeed, it is unforgettable because within these 4 years, so many things happened in my life that perhaps changed the whole scenario or narrative of my life. So many significant things happened within these 4 years, and I'm really grateful to God for that. And I would like to reflect that through 2 verses from Isaiah. Let me read for all of us. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And let's look at another one. From Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. Let's look to God in prayer. Father, we give you thanks for this beautiful morning that you gave us. Thank you for your faithfulness throughout the year, the month, the week. Thank you for bringing us together in this manner. As we look into your word and share the story of your faithfulness, may you be at the center of this time, of this moment, and may we be blessed for because you are faithful to us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. When I first came, this was my boarding pass on 24th June 2014. It's kind of blurry a bit. Yeah. It's my first trip out of India. And so I was very naive and don't know much about the outside world. So, you know, I had $250 in my pocket, and I thought I was rich because $250 in India is like somewhere around 15,000 rupees right now. In fact, Sing dollar has gone up these days again. And so I thought I had a lot of money. And, you know, I was kind of naive and came by knowing very little about the outside world. And I step into Singapore Bible College. And I was like just clueless about everything else. But of course, I was excited because it's my first theological training. I never had a theological training, though I was already working with a church in Delhi for 5 years. And so I never had any theological experiences, any exposure at all. So I was like, I don't know what to anticipate. I don't know what to look for. Yeah, so I was kind of very clueless. And I had no friends. I had no family. So it was like a very, kind of lonely journey. And I was very much, in fact, alone in the room all the time. And the worst thing happened once again, just a week after I landed here in Singapore, my parents, my adopted parents, which is my uncle and my aunt, met with a major accident in India. And my family were not wanting to share with me because they felt like I may be very distorted and I may be very disturbed, be very, it'll be really devastating. Because it was a very, very major, it's a life and death threatening accident they had. And but somehow, when I called up my aunt and she started crying, I was like, why are you crying? Then she shared that they had a major accident and my uncle, who's my adopted father, is in a life oxygen, it's a life and death situation. So he was like, pray for him. As I was holding my phone, I was like, just don't know where I was. It was totally, totally devastating. And I just want to pack my things and go back home. That was my first week of my life here in Singapore. And I was like, wow, what is this going on? I mean, I thought, God, I thought you called me to be here. I thought you want me to be here to learn more about your word and know to be equipped and go back to my place and be a blessing there. But this is the first news I'm hearing right now from home. And so all those things were happening. My mind was like just, you know, back and forth, wanting to pack my bag of things and go back. And I was really struggling. And a friend of mine gave me this passage as I was praying with them. A very, very, very encouraging. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will not do a lot of exegesis out here, but I think I will take it because I will take it on the surface value, because I believe that the truth of this passage still is relevant to us. It's still applicable to us. And God is saying, I'm with you. I am your God. This particular phrase, for I am your God, was something that really strikes my heart, that really speaks to me volume. I am your God. And I look at, I'm from India, and I know we do study world religion, and I know that there are many millions of gods in India. But something that really significant about the God of the Bible, when he say, I am your God, is something very, very, very personal, very intimate, very close. There's that sense of like saying, I am. It's not saying, well, it's not. He's not saying, maybe I am your God. No, it's like, I am your God. But what does that mean for you and I when God says, I am your God? To know that, to really understand the phrase, for I am your God. Of course, the obvious conclusion is that you got to look at the attributes of God, right? And today, we're looking at the faithfulness of God. And I'm pretty sure that all of us will have various tons of stories to share with it, with all of us of God's faithfulness in our life. And the attribute of God today we'll be looking at is just one, that is God's faithfulness, His faithfulness. And when He says, for I am your God, there is that, you got to look at the attribute, the nature, the character of God. I am your God, the faithfulness. It's just truly, it really speaks so much of comfort, so much of love and strength to move on, even in times of difficulty, when I was in that situation. And it really speaks to me. And today is Mother's Day as well, and we all know that. And God speaks to us in a language that you and I can understand. God does not speak to us in a very alienated language that you and I cannot understand. And so he's saying, can a mother forget the baby of her breast and have no compassion? When I look at this passage, it really speaks of my, makes me remember of my mother. My mom passed away in 27 March 1998. So it's roughly 20 years ago. I was very young, and I don't know much. I do remember the day when we took her out of the hospital and took her home when the doctor declares that she's not going to make it anymore because she had a blood cancer, leukemia. And so we took her home. I was very young. I don't know much. But the day she passed away, somewhere around at 12:10 in the noontime, I was holding her. I was by her side, by her bedside, and I was just crying and praying. She really wanted to speak, but something was blocking her throat, and she couldn't. And it reminds me, once again, of course, when she was able to speak, she gave us her final words. But when I look at her life, when I was young, she really was such a mother that, I don't know, with so much of love and compassion, no wonder God used the phrase, can a mother I haven't really encountered much. I think as far as I'm concerned, when you look at the scripture, God always, I think, used more of the mother analogy than father. If I'm not mistaken, in my Bible reading, I find that. But it's very appropriate because there is that tenderness. There is that something very special, unique love and tenderness that a mother has for their kids. We were not a very good kid, I must admit that. The four of us, we are four brothers. We're not a very good child. I mean, I was the naughtiest student in my school. I was even kicked out. I have shared with you guys a few times. I was kicked out of the school because I was extremely, I was really disturbing the school. But my father would be the one, you know, throwing all the words and saying so many crazy things. But my mother was the one always coming behind, comforting and strengthening and upholding me once again, giving me hope and strength and love. And so it's very appropriate when God used the analogy of a mother. I would like to show you a picture. I don't know how far it is clear. I don't know if you guys know of this picture. Anybody knows what this picture is? Yeah, this is the picture of by Rembrandt, the prodigal son, right? When you look at this picture, is there any sort of what do you notice? Is there any significant things out of this picture, out of this painting? The hand? Yeah. There's a whole lot of theological significance from this painting. Because I love painting. I don't know much about painting. I don't know how to paint. Well, Micah and my wife Sarah, I think, does better job than me. I don't know how to paint. I don't really understand much. But I do love painting, especially biblical paintings like this. I just love it. And see, if you look at it carefully, you'll observe that Rembrandt deliberately used two different hands. One is of a mother and one is of a father. And when this is the father and this is the prodigal son. And Rembrandt is saying that God's love is pretty much a beyond that, but he's saying it's like a combination of both the love of a father and a mother. And of course, you'll see somebody holding hand this way is a hand of indifference, right? Yeah, a body language would say that. And so the brother, the self-righteous brother, is like very indifferent. So to me, when I talk about my mother, there is a whole lot of tenderness in her. When I was when I was kicked out of my school, she never gave up praying for us. She never gave up. My father thought I was hopeless. I'm not going to make it in life anymore. And he said so many things that I don't want to even share and repeat it again. But my mother was the one who always on the knee. I remember coming back from school at 2:30. That's when our school is over. I'll be like running back home and just wanting to throw my bags and my clothes off and go back to a cricket field. India, right? I mean, we love cricket and we play a lot of cricket. And so all I wanted to do was come back home and play cricket. And my mother would be the one locking the door. We don't have a separate rooms and stuff like that. So we just have one long room, and that's the kitchen, the bedroom. My brothers, the four of us, we sleep in one bed, one big bed. So, you know, one head over there, the one head this way, you know, zigzag. That's how we grew up. And my mother would be the one, my mother would close the door and would be on her knees praying. About the walls were all whole, you know, they were so, the walls were like, it's just not concrete, solid like this. So you can peep through and see through what's inside. And my mother would be by the bedside on her knees praying. And today, I believe that it's all by God's grace, and it's all because of my mother's prayer, I am who I am today. I'm here sharing God's faithfulness with you guys. And I'm here learning God's Word in Singapore Bible College. I believe it's all because of my mother's prayer. My mother was a woman of prayer. And I'm so much thankful for that. And I'm pretty sure each one of the mothers in here as well are significant. And I'm pretty sure that the children in here will be so much grateful to you, moms, and will perhaps say the same thing, like I said about my mother. A woman of prayer. She really changed our life. She really changed my family's life. Really in there. And this passage, once again, to me, is like, "For I am your God. For I am your God." Speaks volume. I skip one slide. At some point on the 8th of March, this was the only Singapore dollar I have those days, down 15. There were so many challenges here in Singapore I face. But I'm grateful for all those experiences now. I'm grateful. After this, when I had this, and the next day itself, I met Dr. Rick for the first time at Singapore. He was my teacher, but I never talked to him. I was, in a way, pretty much intimidated by him for some reason. So I couldn't really talk to him. But the next day, I met him in the office. And that's how he helped me out and bailed me out of my desperate situation with few coins on my table. And so to me, the passage of, "For I am your God," speaks volume of protection, of providence, of promises. It really speaks to me that God will provide. I was sharing with my Sarah, my wife, and when I first came in, the SBC was asking me to show me my latest bank balance. And I said to them, I gave it to them. I showed it to them. I had 758. I still remember vividly. I, of course, I had the paper still. 758 rupees, Indian rupees, which is somewhere around 15 Sing dollar. And the requirement for per semester in SBC was somewhere around 3,800 per semester. And I was absolutely so naive about the outside world. And I just gave them my bank account and the latest bank balance. I don't know the need. I don't know what's the difference between Singapore dollar and Indian rupees and whatnot. I gave them that. And I came just like that. Just a week before, a pastor from Mount Carmel Presbyterian Church came and he said, "Noah, I heard that you're going to come to Singapore Bible College. Have you booked your ticket?" I said, "No, I haven't." So he gave me 200 Sing dollar and I booked my ticket and I came. Like I said, and then just, you know, when I think about it, it just blows my mind so much of God's faithfulness in my life. Though completely naive and ignorant, when I step in Singapore, it just, I don't know, it's just overwhelming to think back once again of how God was really faithful to me. Met Pastor Rick, came to CIC, and that's how I completed my journey here. And of course, I met Sarah at Singapore Bible College, and two of my most important event in my 4 years of my life here in Singapore Bible College is, number one, of course, is my marriage, is my wedding. And last Saturday, on the 5th of May, I got my MDiv certificate. And so I came for one certificate, but of course, I'm going back with two. I take that as God's double blessing. Pray for us. Like I said, it's just a story today, this morning. Pray for us as we pack our things back. Tomorrow in the morning, we're going back to India. I'll be working with an organization called South Asia Group, which does Bible translation and compiling teaching materials. I belong to a very small community called the Chiru community, Chiru from Manipur, comprising of just 6,000 people. And we have just three literatures so far, which is the New Testament and a hymnal, which is also a translated version, and one compilation of folk stories. So we have only three literatures so far. So that means the literacy rate in our community is also very, very, very small, very little still. I'm the first one, and in fact, still the only one in my community to be studying outside India. So our literacy rate is still very, very small. Pray for us even as we go. Sarah and I are very keen to go back to our people to share God's faithfulness and also to do teaching of God's word. And that's our heart's desire right now. I don't know what is God trying to, I don't know what He's going to open a door for us. We don't know perfectly yet, but we are in talk with this organization, South Asia Group, and they have given us a green light to work with them and to teach and the scripture, and also to work with the remaining translation, the Old Testament, which is 30% of it is done right now and is still in progress for the remaining 70%. So pray for us for that. Those are the ministry that we are going to be involved in. And also pray for us. We don't know where exactly we're going to settle in Manipur. We do hope and pray that we'll be in Imphal. And we will keep in touch with you guys. We do have a newsletter that we try to write every 2 months or 3 months or so. We will keep it posted. We will always be coveting your prayers and your love, and your support for us. So with that, I will just close my story here. We will talk more about it after the service as well, but I don't want to be too long. Just a short story of God's faithfulness here. Let's look to God in prayer. Father, thank you for your faithfulness throughout our 4 years here in Singapore. One of the most expensive city in the world. I do live with coins sometimes, but you never abandoned me. You never let me go hungry. I always have food on the table. I always have clothes to wear. I have roof on my over me to protect. Thank you for your love here in CIC, Pastor Rick, Susan, and in each and every individual here for their love. Thank you for your providence throughout the 4 years, Lord. And though our journey ahead of us is in some ways uncertain, yet Lord, looking at your faithfulness in the past, Father, we can rest in you, knowing that you are faithful, knowing that you are loving, knowing that you are kind. We thank you, we love you, and we commit ourselves to you once again, even as we embark on a new journey, especially as of now, Sarah and I, we go back to India. Tomorrow, we commit ourselves and for the journey into your loving hand. Pray your blessing upon CIC family as well, that may you continue to be the one working in this place mightily in each and every one of our life, and help us to be the soul and the light wherever you call us, wherever you place us to be. For all these things, Father, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you.